Kubelik in the morning. Talking PGA Championship, the second Wanamaker Trophy for Justin Thomas over the weekend. Largest 54-hole comeback in PGA Championship history. James Colgan of Golf.com going to join us now on the Bud Light Hotline to discuss. You can follow him on Twitter, at JamesColgan26. James, before we get into the actual tournament from over the weekend, I want to ask you this. I'm going to play a clip for you and just want to know from you, does this bother you, either watching on television or in person?
Lindsey McGuire!
Fire Goodell!
Say hello to your mother for me!
When these guys yell things after tee shots, is this bothersome for you? Do you laugh it off, or is it something that ruins your experience?
Well, I would describe it as outwardly one of the most annoying things that you can do at a sporting event. I think it's very, very hard to eclipse that level of annoyingness in public. It's just a nuisance to everyone around you. I try to be as best I can a crusader for golf as a fun sport and not as, you know, stuffy, boring, elitist sport. And I guess this is one of those things where I fall on the stuffier side of the argument. But yeah, I can't stand it, honestly. It's frustrating, and I think it takes away from what is actually entertaining, which is the sporting event you're watching.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into JT, and he gets this win. Just an amazing final round, then goes to that aggregate playoff, three holes, able to get the Wanamaker Trophy again. I want to say, could this be a bit of a launching point for him? But, I mean, he already had another PGA Championship. He's been ranked number one. What do you think this does? What does this propel Justin Thomas to as he approaches 30 here over the next few years?
Well, you know, Cole, I think you said it right. I think it is a launching off point for Justin Thomas. When you look at his career to this point, I think he's been so close on so many different occasions. I think we thought the Players' Championship win, well, first the PGA win in 2017, then we thought the Players' Championship win last March was going to be that launching off point. But I think at the PGA, we saw a different side of Justin Thomas, and I think it's sort of the evolution of the golfer that's been growing before our eyes for the last few years. I think we saw a version of JT that we just really have not seen to this point. It was a guy who was willing to battle, who was willing to kind of scrap through some really tough conditions, a really tough side of the draw. I was very impressed. I think I came away from watching the end of that tournament yesterday thinking, you know, when we look back at this in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, I think we'll look at this PGA as the moment where he sort of springboarded towards something bigger. But I will say my caveat there, he's got to win a major that isn't the PGA to really launch himself into the conversation of having a legacy in the game of professional golf. I think he needs another big one to kind of break through on that pantheon, if you will. But yeah, I mean, looking at JT's performance, I can't see how you would see the arrows being anything other than pointing directly up for him right now.
Talking with James Colgan of golf.com, wrapping up the PGA Championship win for Justin Thomas over the weekend. He's a guy that I watch, and I'm admittedly a bit of a novice, but I feel like he's sort of one of those athletes or teams that you would describe as like B plus A minus across the board. He doesn't have like a superpower, so to speak, where some guys it's their length off the tee. Other guys it's their putter while they're on the green. Some guys might be their short game. If there was one specific strength that stands out for JT, because I feel like we saw shot selection from all over the place be extraordinary for him this weekend, what would the one thing be that stands out in his game over everything else?
I think it's his scrappiness. When I look back at this PGA Championship, the thing that I'm going to remember first and foremost from Justin Thomas was his performance on Friday morning. We saw wind gusts upwards of 40 miles an hour. There was, balls are being swept all over the golf course. It was a crazy, crazy situation at Southern Hills on the early portion of Friday morning. Almost no one from that side of the draw who played in that Friday morning condition almost no one wound up in the final few groups on Sunday because it was just so punishing to be out. The scores were so high. No one was really able to make it work. Justin Thomas played in those conditions. He played in the heart of those conditions. And the thing that really stuck out to me was he played almost an entire round of golf without putting the ball more than 40 feet in the air. And that was the only way that you could keep it out of the wind. It's that level of creativity, that ability to sort of adjust the conditions as they're playing in front of you. We've seen it in fits and starts from JT, but I think when you're looking at what the hallmark of his game is, particularly after this weekend, it's that. It's exactly that. It's his ability to adjust on the fly and to keep battling no matter what the situation is around him.
I think he proved that he can do that and will do that, especially this weekend with the largest 54-hole comeback in PGA Championship history. All right, so that's some of the good and what we learned about maybe what's going to be positive down the road. But a rough outing for Tiger Woods, as you know, Thursday seemed to go okay. Friday, noticeably in pain, but he makes the cut. So you know he's going to give it a go Saturday. The round is the worst that he shot in PGA Championship history and just did not look like he felt well at all. It looked like he was in a lot of pain on Saturday, so he shuts it down, withdraws, does not finish on Sunday. What did you see from Tiger Woods, and what do you feel like is next for Tiger?
I think what we saw from Tiger is he's not quite in the physical space to walk 72 holes over 4 days at a major championship. I think his golf game is absolutely in position to play and play well in a major. But his body and his ability to simply walk a golf course four times in 4 days, we saw it at the Masters and we watched it again this past weekend at Southern Hills. I think what's going on with Tiger currently is, you know, I don't know how much better his body is going to get from where he is right now. And so I think that's sort of the impetus behind, I'm going to keep going into these tournaments. I'm going to keep playing. Just give it as best a shot I can. But I think the concern right now is, you know, is he going to be able to finish a four-round tournament? As far as, you know, his golf game is concerned, I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, yeah, he had a few rough shots. He didn't score too well on Saturday. But I think that's more indicative of, you know, where he was at physically than how he was swinging the golf club. But, I mean, yeah, I think the big concern for Tiger coming out of this week is, you know, is he going to reach a point where he's capable of peaking on the weekend at a major? You know, we've seen it now at two consecutive majors where he's come out, he's played well on Thursday, he's played okay on Friday, he's struggled on Saturday, and then he pulled out of the PGA Championship before I even saw him on Sunday. But at the Masters, that was by far his worst round of the week as well. So I think for Tiger going forward, the big question is going to be, can he physically be in the space where he can finish a 72-hole tournament by walking the course four times? And it seems like such a simple thing, but that is really the be-all, end-all right now for Tiger. As far as when we'll see him next, the U.S. Open is in just about a month up in Boston at the Country Club, but I don't think we're going to see Tiger in the field there. I think the way that course is going to be set up, I think particularly the walk being as hilly as it is up in Brookline, it's going to be a really, really big challenge for him to play. I think far more likely and almost definitely we're going to see Tiger at the Open Championship at St. Andrews in July. And that could be his last start of 2022. We'll see sort of how things shake out. But yeah, I think if you're setting your calendars for 1 week for the rest of this year, it's going to be that second week in July for the British Open, the Open Championship at St. Andrews. I think that's the next time we're going to see Tiger.
So wait a minute, the U.S. Open is going to be played at the Country Club? Is that accurate?
Yes, that's the name, the Country Club. It earns points, I guess, for originality.
Is that the most arrogant title of any team or setting in sports ever? Just the Country Club. Like, we are that.
Well, it was one of the first golf clubs in the United States. It has a lengthy history in the game. So I guess they felt that they didn't have to give any sort of moniker for, you know, being close to Boston or in Brookline or any of that fun stuff. I think they were just capable. The country club, just lock it in right there.
I like it. I'm cool with it. I mean, that takes the Ohio State to a completely different level of just, yes, we only need our name and we'll be good. So, all right, if we're not going to see Tiger there, early picks, early thoughts, just on from what you took away from the PGA Championship into what we will see at the country club.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd have to be feeling good if you were a Justin Thomas fan that he would come into this tournament the presumptive favorite. I think this was a really interesting tournament because I think everyone expected we'd see Scottie Scheffler, the Masters champion, in the weekend. A lot of people thought we might even see him win at the PGA. He didn't even make the cut. Some other big names, John Rahm, shot 8 over on Saturday and completely jumped out of the tournament. Rory McIlroy played well on Thursday and faded throughout the whole weekend. So it's a bit of a mixed bag right now. Jordan Spieth really struggled for the entire week. He said after yesterday that he just didn't feel comfortable swinging a golf club. This is after he finished, you know, in the top 5 the previous week. So we're at a bit of a strange point in the golf season where there really are only a few players trending in a really positive direction. But I think if you take sort of the 10,000-foot view here, I think a name that you're going to want to pay attention to at least in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, because he'll probably get 1 or 2 more starts for the U.S. Open, it's Rory McIlroy. He's played some really, really good golf, but he hasn't done it for more than, you know, one or two rounds at a time. We saw him shoot 65 on Sunday at the Masters and, you know, finish in second place in that heroic finish. Then we saw him jump out to the lead at the PGA and fade down the stretch. Rory is really, really frustrated with where his game is at right now, but he's so close. And I think we're going to see him break through at some point. If it were at the U.S. Open, a course where, you know, ball striking is going to be at a premium, where Rory's going to have a real opportunity to kind of play to his strengths on that golf course, it wouldn't shock me if that were the case. But yeah, I think if you're looking ahead to the U.S. Open, you're looking at Rory, or you're looking at some of the better ball strikers, the better approach players in the game right now. Those are the guys that are going to play well at the setup in Boston. So that's where I'd be looking.
There you go. James, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Cole.
Absolutely. James Colgan of golf.com. Follow him on Twitter, at JamesColgan26. And you can find his work, obviously, at golf.com. One of the best. Love having him on. Always has fun. And breaks down the game extremely well. He joined us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there. The Country Club, kind of similar to, I was kind of hoping that, speaking of Daniel Snyder, that Washington would keep, you know, the Washington football team. I thought that was good. Now, we make fun of some of these things like the Ohio State. Like, it's arrogant. Don't get me wrong. The Country Club has arrogance with it. But
for sure.
That's OG as you can get. It's original.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.